Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Chazon. The Medrash at the beginning of Eicha darshins, Eicha Yoshva, Shloisha Nisnabu B'Lashon Eicha. There are three tzaddikim who said Nevuah with the word Eicha. How can it be? How is this possible? Moshe, Yeshaya, V'Yirmiyah. Moshe Omar. In this week's parasha, Moshe says at the beginning, Eicha Esa Levadi V'Goymer. How can I possibly cope with all of your challenges which we throw in my way? How can I cope being your leader? How can I cope with all the complaints that you have? Yeshaya Omar, and that is in the Haftarah of this week's parasha, Eicha Haisa L'Zayna. How can it be that the beautiful, trustworthy Yerushalayim, the city which was known for its honesty, how has it strayed? Yirmiyah Amar, and Yirmiyah says in the beginning of Eicha, Eicha Yashva V'dad. So there are three tzaddikim who use the word Eicha in this actual form. You know that Kadosh Baruch Hu also uses the word Ayeka. Medrash speaks about it in the Psicha, but we're speaking about in this form of the word Eicha. The Medrash goes on and explains, Omer Rabbi Levi, Mashal l'matroina shahayu l'ashleisha sheshvinim. A mashal to a noble woman, a chashev, a lady, who had three good friends, but the three good friends knew her from different periods of her life. Echad ra oisa b'shalvasa. One friend knew her back from when everything was good, from the good old days of this noble woman. Ve'echad ra oisa b'vachsusa. Another friend knew her and saw her when she was troubled, when she was rebellious, when she was being very disturbed and disturbing. Ve'echad ra oisa b'divula. And her third and final friend knew her when she was being degraded. Kach, so too, says Reb Levi. Moshe Ra'as Yisrael. Moshe is the first friend. He saw Klal Yisrael. The noble woman is Klal Yisrael. Bechvoidim v'shalvasim. He saw them at the height of their glory and peace. So Amar, and he said to them, Eicha Esa Levadi Torchachim. How can I cope and bear with all of your burdens? Yishai Ra'asim v'chzusam. Yishai saw Klal Yisrael. Saw the noble woman when she was being empty, rebellious, troublesome. So Amran, he says, Eicha Haisa L'Zayin, how have you, the great city of Yerushalayim, the trustworthy city, how have you become a Zayin? How have you turned away? How have you become untrustworthy? How did this happen? Yirmiyah Ra Aisa Menivulam. Yirmiyah saw them when they were totally being degraded. Mevuzeh. So Amran, he says, Eicha Yashva. So this is the Medrash Rabbah. We need to understand exactly what are the connection between these three tzaddikim, just because they use the word Eicha. We also need to understand, Siyata D'Shemaya, that L'chaira, in this week's Parsha, Parsha Dvarim, we know that Rashi tells us at the beginning that this Parsha is going to be filled with Teichacha. Dvarim, Eschanon, maybe Ekev, is going to be filled with Teichacha. And therefore we have a reference right at the beginning to all different incidents where Klal Yisrael slipped. And the Torah discusses at detail, at length, the story of Meraglim in this week's Parsha. And then we have next week, we have the story of the Eagle. So how come the first big discussed topic is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking about how Klal Yisrael was too much for him, and he needed help from the judges, like Yisrael advised him, and that's like a whole tumult. He goes through that in detail. How does that fit into all the other terrible stories? You know, we think of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, we think of all the tragic stories, we do not remember the story of Klal Yisrael needing more judges. How does that fit into all the rest? So I'd like to share with you a drasha from a Moshe Feinstein, from a few places, but mostly in the second set of drushes in Drush Moshe, Drush Ches, the second set of drushes, a drush which he said during World War II, while Yidden were suffering in Europe. And he said this in Camp Masifta, in the United States, in upstate New York, in the year Tafresh Ches Tzadik, when Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos. And this is what he said right before Tisha B'Av began. So Rav Moshe spoke, asked over the kashas we asked, and he said the following observations. And again, a lot of this is themes that he speaks about in other places in Drash Moshe. Chayra, we can ask a philosophical question. How come we find that the Ummah Sa'ilam, they punish someone for stealing or for killing based on circumstantial evidence, even if there's not solid evidence, they punish very strongly. There are countries where they give physical pain and physical affliction for someone who stole. Many countries where they chop off the hand. Many countries where they hang people who are caught stealing. And even in a lot of the modern world, people have to sit in jail. It's considered one of the worst crimes, especially if you steal from the government. They give crimes which are not befitting the crime. Why? Why do I say this? Because by Klal Yisrael, if you steal, what are you mechoyev to do? Give it back. If it was gezel, as opposed to gneva, just give it back and you're done. If it was gneva, you have to be careful, but only if there was edim and you weren't maida. And who's going to steal when there's two edim watching them? So it's very rare to have to do anything more than just giving back that which was stolen. So here, Klal Yisrael have very minuscule punishments actually happening. Sanhedrin, which kills more than 70 years, Mishnah says in Makkah, there's nothing wrong with it. It was very rare. The Eidim need to say to the fellow who's about to kill someone or whatever, they say to him, you know you're going to be killed, and he used to say, Afa Pikein. So it's very rare that we punish greatly for murderers or for stealing. The guy would do it so much more, the punishment. It's much stronger. And still, Frekra Moshe Feinstein, philosophical question. How come there are very, very few Jewish murderers, very, very small number of Jewish thieves compared to Goyim, and they're getting much greater punishments, and it's kind of not helping them. And we're getting less, we seem to be doing better off. So he says, the Kasha itself is the answer. There's a fundamental difference between Klal Yisrael's perspective of punishment and Goyim. He speaks about this again in a few places. Goyim, the punishments for stealing and the punishments for killing is not for the etzim crime. It's not because the crime is evil and it's not because crime essentially is bad. It's only because crime does not pay. You're going to lose out. We're scared this thing is going to happen to us. So in order to protect society, we need to make rules. We're not going to allow stealing because I don't want it to happen to me. We're not going to allow killing because I don't let it happen to me. But not that it's essentially something which is evil. With this, he explains in a few places, again, a tremendous question. We know the Chazal say, Kadosh Baruch Hu approached the Ummah Sa'ilam, offered them the Torah, and some of them said, what is it saying? They were told it says, Leistirtzach. Others were told it says, Leistignev. They're like, we don't want to keep this. What do you mean? But Goyim do keep the rules of Leistirtzach. They do have laws against murder and laws against stealing. The answer is Magi Dvar of Yaakov, Chukah v'Mishpat of Yisrael, V'Asachen L'Chogai U'Mishpatim Bal Yedum. They weren't taught Mishpatim, but they were. No, their Mishpatim are just in order to stop Isris Re'eu Chayim Bloi from people destroying each other. But it's not that the thing itself is Ra. Mishpatim Bal Yedum, they have the wrong perspective on Mishpatim. Just reminded, there's a beautiful story. I don't remember the details. If someone wants to contact me and tell me the actual more authentic way how it happened, I'll appreciate it and be thankful. There's a story, I think, in Eretz Yisrael. A fellow stole a car from another Jew on Shabbos. A non-religious Jew, you know, carjacked and took off in someone's car. And next day, or later in that day, he returned the car and left a note and said, in your car, when I stole it, you had a cassette tape, remember those? Playing. And I think it was Rabbi Yagain or something, speaking about tshuva and the issur of stealing. He says, as he was driving the car, he was hearing a shir on stealing. And that made him realize the severity of the sin in itself, the avera. And he was inspired and he returned the car on Shabbos. You might remember the story. So, and Mavis says, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, the kasha that we asked, all the great punishment that they do, you know why they need to do so much punishment? Why do they need to go extreme? Why do they need to sometimes apologize and say, oh, sorry, we killed the wrong guy. We punished the wrong person. Oh, you were incarcerated in jail for so many years, and we apologize. You didn't really need to be there. They have to do that. Because since their punishment system is based on stopping people from stealing, says Ramesha, so therefore it's important for them, and they need to go along and have this system where they're just going to over-punish and be very, very severe. It doesn't matter if it's just or not, because it's all for the greater good, to protect society. But we, says Ramesha, do not need to protect society. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of society. It's not our role. Hashem has ways to take care of it. Our punishments are based on Hatsur Tavim Pa'olei, what is a just punishment for every single situation. And that's all. And then Ramesha says, even though it is known that there is a code of honor amongst thieves, Ramesha brings this, there's a code of honor amongst thieves. All different rules. I don't step onto your turf, you don't come to my turf. And amongst the gang themselves, they have all different unbroken rules. I won't tell on you, you won't tell on me, I'm not going to steal from you. And they have a lot of respect inside amongst the thieves, says Ramesha. Those rules only apply until the greater need and the greater desire says break the rules. It's not a rule because they're honorable men. They're not honorable. They're the most dishonorable men in the world. Murderers and thieves. Society honors them. I don't know, Robin Hood makes a whole geshmaka thing out of them. Rishayim, that guy, if he was real, questionable, right? If he was real, I don't care who he stole from and who he gave to. He's ever since been back, he's Chayim Misa. So, when they have honor among themselves, only in order to be able to keep their outfit going, in order to continue stealing, their whole honor that they have and their respect is just to be able to continue to get away with murder, literally. But, Am Kiroivoy, Kadosh Baruch Hu's nation, knows that it's essentially evil. And therefore, we understand we should never break it. But, Klai Yisrael did sin. So what happened? It says Ramesh, there's two ways we're makabel the Torah. We either makabel the Torah because we know we want to live a life of ruchnius, we want to live a life of closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu, or we accept the Torah, we know it's the truth. We know that averus are essentially evil, but it's only because we're scared of being punished about it. But it's not like we're really, really caring about the averus. Maybe a little bit, stepping a little bit close to how the goyim act. And that's why Klai Yisrael sometimes gets slipped from Avera to Avera. They start off, says Ramesha, and they start being matter everything, saying it's Pikuach Nefesh. And they can eat when they're very hungry in this restaurant because it's Pikuach Nefesh. And they can do this because it's Pikuach Nefesh. And eventually, says Ramesha, finally, the Chasad Gevrocha, they'll steal jewelry. Because if they don't give their wife jewelry, it's going to be Pikuach Nefesh. Oy. So it's the Yitzhahara taking you from one hatter to another, but, says Ramesha, tremendous chiddush. If Klai Yisrael, and he writes this again many, many times in the Sefer, if Klai Yisrael would stay focused on ruchnius and realize gashmius, as hevel avolim, who would be zeichet to that? We would never have challenges that the Yitzhahara presents to us, because we would only be interested in ruchnius. So maybe we would have questions, we would go to a Rav and find out. Just like someone has a question on if something's mutter or usher, what does he do? You go and ask a Rav, and you accept what the Rav says. It doesn't matter how much money the shayla is. But someone has a little shayla about someone else, b'adam v'chaveri, people are moira hetter for themselves. It's mutter to take this, mutter to steal it. This is okay. And it's not okay. Ask a shayla. Ramesha says, you know, that if people who have real Yerushalayim, you know how they would go to a din taira? They would go to a din taira and say, we want to know, is it mutter or is it usher? I don't want to keep this money if I'm not supposed to be keeping this money. It belongs to the other person. But people go to a din Torah, and this is the words of Ramesha, they go to win. They want to win the din Torah. What is that, says Ramesha? That's not the right hashkafa. Just like you want to know something's kosher or not, you want to find out if the money which you want to take from the other person or the other person wants to take from you, who does it really belong to? Because you don't want to be over on an avera. That's really the right hashkafa. That's really the right attitude, how to approach the din Torah. And that's why Rashi says on the pasuk, "Eicha esel avadi torchachem asechem rivchem." So Rashi, the one of the things Moshe Rabbeinu was complaining about, was how Klai Yisrael, whenever they weren't satisfied with the psak, the din Torah, what would they insist on? You need more dayanim. We have more rayas. 1 second, you didn't hear the whole story right. They would keep changing it and insisting that they want a second opinion. Imagine you go to Moshe Rabbeinu and you ask him if something is kosher or not. And he tells you, he thinks it's no, it's not kosher. So, well, I want to go ask a second opinion. I want to get another rabbi over here involved. We'll go after Moshe Rabbeinu, get a second opinion. But they did that to Moshe Rabbeinu because it wasn't about finding out the Dvar Hashem. It was, unfortunately, about trying to be the winner, trying to win the entire. I heard from a very chashuv yid. You might have heard of him, Chaim Ortcha Osban, Vashiva of Ateris Shlomo, in Chamed, one of the biggest yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. He told me that he was involved in some dintira in his building, and when he went to the basin, he showed up in the basin, he said to them, Rabbi Sai, I would like to know what Hashem says, what the Torah says about this shiloh which came up between me and my neighbor. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to treat this situation? What should I do? Should I allow it, not allow it? Whatever the shiloh was. I think he told me something on building on the roof. This is a way a Ben Taira, a Yari Shemaim, approaches his entire. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, I see from how you're acting that there's something wrong. Your whole Hashkaf, your whole Kabbalah Satira was maybe based on fear, but wasn't based on living a life of Ruchnius. And he says a gorgeous pshat. Kedoshim Tiyu, many different shatim, and Rashi Ramban start off getting many different shatim, and there's more and more. So Kedoshim Tiyu means, if you live a life of Kedoshim Tiyu, then the Torah goes on and says, Leisignav Leisigzal, says Ramesha, Leisignav Leisigzal doesn't just mean don't do it, it's not just a command. In Lashon HaKodesh, Leisignav also means you will not steal. Leisignav, you won't steal. You won't be involved in many, you will love your fellow Jew as yourself. This is what will happen. It's a prediction. It's a guarantee. If you live a life of Ruchnius Kodesh and Tiyu, then everything will be great. So he says, Emela, that's why it's in the Teichacha. The reason why Moshe Rabbeinu has this Eicha, he says, what happened? How did you slip up? How did you miss out on realizing what Yiddishkeit really is? You're makabel the Torah. You know that you have to do the mitzvahs and the taveiros are terrible. But you're dealing it wrong. You're approaching it wrong. You're trying to grab for yourselves also. And you're not living a life of Kodesh and Tiyu. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is first an Iker. He says the whole problem has begun because there's a Yisoid, something wrong in the Yisoid and the Shirish of your Avodas Hashem. And therefore, now I understand why the Meraglim happened. And I understand why the Chet the Eagle and the Kairach and everything was because you weren't focused on just where the Rabbi Shalom won. So that's why he begins the Teichacha with Eicha Esa Levadi, right? And the Ish of Avram. In Hilchus, Kriyas HaTorah discusses, Salchut Emrich brings, Ol Tumel, where you start to leave from Eicha, you go back a pasuk, and we have a minute, we meet it with the Eicha tune, because of this Medrash, it became a very, very sad pasuk, the way this Medrash looks at this pasuk. Like we're explaining now, Moshe says, this is the Shayrish of all the Chataim, that you're not focused on Ruchnius. Now we can go further, says Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu said, maybe I'm not a good role model for you. You look at me as too spiritual. You think I'm an angel. So let's get your own people involved. Take your own folks. Let's make them into leaders and hopefully they'll inspire you. You'll connect to them more. In the days of Yeshaya, things slipped down more. And it wasn't just a theory. It wasn't just a Shirish prior race for land anymore. It turned into actual evil. People were stealing. People were killing. People were involved in terrible Averis, which is Haftarah. And this was something which was a result. The Eicha Hoysel Zayna. How did it happen? The Kiryan Amana became a Zayna. The answer is, Zayna straight away, straight, turned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The answer is, because the Kabbalah Satara wasn't a Kabbalah Satara of Emes. It wasn't Ladasas Hashem. It wasn't to have a Ruchistic connection. It was too cultural. They knew it was the truth. But the day-to-day life, inside were these medias which only Moshe Rabbeinu had realized earlier, but now it was coming out. The Mei Pakzusa. So he says, this Ir HaTzedek, the wonderful city of Yerushalayim, became a place of Rishayim. They're not scared of the Chorban. And Moshe brings from Chazal, and it says, when Yirmiyahu and Yeshaya were warning Klal Yisrael that the Kastan Bavel is going to come and destroy the Beis Hamikdash, they're like, we're best friends with the Bavel. We're basically thinking of intermarrying with them. We're going to join them. They're not going to do anything against us. They love us. The United States of Babel, United States of Babel, love us so much, nothing could ever go wrong. There's no way we could get hurt from them. This Ramesha brings, and he says that this is what's going on right now, says Ramesha, in Germany, where people thought that they were so close with them, but they discovered that they're being turned on. And this is something Yeshayah is warning about. And it came true because Yeshayah Navi says, this is what Yirmiyah says eventually, this is the Benivula and the final level of degradation. Yirmiyah Navi says, Echa Yashav Adad. You're all alone. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't let you intermingle. You were suddenly despised by those who you trusted in. Mahavai, the ones who you, Hemeri Muni, like it says in Echa, you were fooled. You thought that they're your friends. You thought that they loved you. But all of a sudden it came out. The Rabbi Yishlam caused, Enochayim was a nace. Shalapi Dechad Hashem made that they should hate us in order that we should stay separate. Like the famous expression, Chassid Shalom, I don't remember who said this, but this old Yiddish expression, maybe it was one of the Gdolim, probably. If the Yidden don't make Kiddush, then the Goyim make Havdalah. We're not Makadosh ourselves. We try to mix into them. They push us away. So this is a flowing of these three things, the three sheetahs that the Medrash is saying. Moshe Rabbeinu saw already the Shayrish. He realized the problem of Klal Yisrael. You already could see it happening. You could see Klal Yisrael slipping. It wasn't just theory anymore. It became real actions in the time of Yeshayah, Hanavi, and Haftarah. And in the time of Yirmiyah, unfortunately, the punishment came to pass. They were despised. They were thrown away. And they were taught that you have to change your Hashkafa. And this is what we need to think about. To the Geulah Shleima, to think about how Rav Hashem should help us. We should start getting focused on living a life of Ruchnius, of Kirvus Elikim. That's really, everybody knows, famous. So that's what's Makabel. That's what Avodah of Tisha B'Av is. Avodah of Tisha B'Av is the work in Kirvus Elikim L'Tayv. Rav Hashem shall help us. Should be Zoyche that if we do the right Zvainis, Mehera, the Salt Kuf will be 3 weeks of Simcha, beginning with Shivas Ratamas, which will be a Yom Tov, finishing off in the Spitz of Tisha B'Av, being the greatest Yom Tov of all, with Shabbos.